Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to session four here in the fifth WordPress Developer Camp. We've kind of been breaking the conversation pieces into specific categories. Today is all about security work and making sure we are protecting our site, our client site, our server, and just taking care to make sure that we provide a safe environment so our clients don't really have to worry. Now, to get started, I've done some research again going back to this week and looked at the latest statistics, and it keeps growing. I personally have been slightly surprised that WordPress continues to grow at its rate it does. That doesn't mean other content management systems are not growing as well. I do think part of the reason why WordPress continues to grow can be attributed to this one or these two factors. Both Drupal and Joomla, are not rising at the same rate. And in one sense, they're kind of losing some user base. So because of that, we now have WordPress at 61.9% of all the websites that use content management systems, which equates to 35.2% of all websites. I believe it passed 35% a month and a half ago, and that's where it sits. Now, this is just... these are numbers that are extrapolated from top 1 million sites, as well as things that they're able to track with. There's some people who say it's larger than this, because if you are blocking certain types of tracking criteria, you know, generators, meta tag information that might be part of WordPress in the header of a file, you may not be included in certain things. Other people have modified how WordPress reports itself, or the server reports itself. And then there are also others that just say it's also using and tracking default test demo sites, things that are not the actual site. So somewhere between more and less of this 35.2% of all websites is what we're looking at. That's just a massive amount of sites that use WordPress. And so the problem with this, while it's good that it's everywhere, there's a large market that you can work within, that also means the number one thing for anyone to hack is a WordPress site. And so when we start looking at vulnerabilities and things that exist, yes, once a vulnerability is found, it is going to be exploited. And it's not just people who are concerned with protecting sites that scan these type of websites that are addressing security vulnerabilities. It's groups that are looking to take advantage of WordPress sites that scan this. I say this because, and again, in our Slack channel at WP Studio, we do have a security channel that basically is this RSS feed of the vulnerabilities. So when they are released, that gets updated to the Slack channel in our Slack, in the WP Studio Slack. The reason why is once something like this is out here, where, oh, Ultimate Add-ons for Beaver Builder actually has an authentication issue, which allows any user to upload a file that pretends to be a plugin, and then they can go through and basically gain access to your site. Well, once this is out there, and anybody can look at this information, look at the basically you can read the CWE, which deals with, okay, this is how it was hacked. This is what they did. This is the code that they were able to hack with. And they were able to take advantage of Beaver Builder sites that are using this ultimate Beaver Builder add-on. So the whole process of once it finds its way onto these vulnerability sites, because WordPress is so prolific, and hackers who are wanting to take advantage in multiple ways of a WordPress site, they're going to just start writing code to see if they can find websites that are not updated, that have not updated to protect against these vulnerabilities. So if you ever see one of your plugins that you have on your WordPress sites or your client sites come across the WP Studio Slack channel, or go ahead and subscribe to this yourself. See, there's an RSS feed that you can subscribe to. You immediately need to go update and fix. Now, part of the reason why it's a good thing to subscribe to things like this and not other hacker groups that are reporting vulnerabilities. If it lands here, the vulnerability has already been patched. So if we actually looked at this and said, oh, ultimate add-ons for Beaver Builder, it affects the plugin, and it was fixed in, you can go through, it actually fixed in 1.24.1. See how it says fixed? So anything that was below that had an authentication bypass. You won't find anything on this site that has not been fixed or patched. Now, occasionally you will see something, and it's very rare that it happens, you will see something that this person has not patched it, or it's an abandoned plugin. And it will literally say, you need to stop work. It's like a big red thing. You need to stop using this plugin because it's vulnerable. So I go through all of this. This is not to scare you about things that are going on with WordPress or how vulnerable it is. A, I want to use the illustration because I know a number of us use Beaver Builder. We may even have the ultimate add-ons for Beaver Builder. You may have the ultimate add-ons for Elementor. If you do, and you have not updated your plugin on your sites or your client sites, guess what? There can be people who currently right now are searching for your site that has a proven vulnerability. That has been, they've been told, this is how you take advantage of it. All you have to do to protect your site and your client site is update. So that's kind of the in a nutshell, the good and the bad of WordPress. The idea that there is, while some people may say, well, WordPress is so vulnerable, there's so many people who are trying to attack WordPress. Well, part of that is, at its core understanding, it's because everybody uses WordPress. If somebody goes and writes their own content management system and only three sites use it, who cares if there's vulnerabilities all through it? No hacker in their right mind, unless you actually built your own e-commerce store and you're collecting credit card information, nobody cares about your site. They can't, what good is it for them to write a hack just to take over one domain name or one server? They're not going to be able to use it for bot attacks or chained things or other reasons why somebody would attack a WordPress website. But because WordPress is so big, used everywhere, there actually is payoff for hackers to go after it. All right, so let's talk about just a few of the other areas. Yes, the answer to anything that comes across that vulnerability database is to make sure you update your site. That is also why, for the most part, it is really good idea to update as soon as possible. Now, some of us may not be able to, or we have custom work, or your client, maybe you have a government client, and they require you to go through certain hoops in order to update server information. You know, there's viability things. You have to run through tests. You have to make sure retention of data is properly preserved. So you need to do it as soon as possible. If for whatever reason you cannot update and you know there's a vulnerability, you better have a very viable backup. And what I'm saying viable is if you know there's a vulnerability out there and you can't back it up yet, or sorry, you can't update it, go make a backup, grab a localhost site, restore that backup onto the localhost site or in type some type of staging environment so that you now have a working version of the site running in parallel. Not that anybody's accessing your backed up site. This is so if somebody does take advantage of it, you'll know, because now you have two sites that aren't working the same way. You might also quickly be able to restore, check the number of user accounts back and forth. There are these little tricks that for those of us who may not be heavy programmers, or we may not feel comfortable in the command line. You know, if you're comfortable in the command line, you could just type out comparison requests to search the database for number of user accounts. How many of you do not feel like that is something that, oh, I'll just hop on the command line and I'll write a MySQL query and have it compare the user accounts that exist between two websites? If we don't, sometimes we just need to use the tried and true visual. And if you know, especially for that Beaver Builder hack that just came out, it's all about creating additional user accounts. So what easier way for us to make sure is we can have two sites side by side, or at least we've taken a notification of this site should only have 4 user accounts. This site has 24. This, we can compare quickly. And again, that rabbit trail was only for those of you who have clients who, for whatever legal reason or even random reason, don't allow full updates to happen unless you go through a process. All right, I think we've exhausted the area of you must keep everything up to date for multiple reasons. The other one is we must make sure we have strong passwords. Now, yes, there are security plugins that will make sure you have strong passwords. There are also security plugins that will force reset passwords every 30 days, 90 days. These are things that you should have already been discussing with the clients. Maybe you have a security policy. I know there are a few of you who have shared with me your security policy, and some of you literally have it in there that all passwords for anyone who has administrator access or above, or editor access or above to the site, they get auto reset every 90 days. So that basically after 90 days, the person logs in and it tells them, you need to change your password. And it will only require them, or it will require them to get a new strong password. They can't do a weak password. So keeping strong passwords are important, but they're not the end of the world, because WordPress has other issues. Now, we will also talk about two-factor authentication. We'll talk about security plugins in just a moment. But those are things that are pretty important, but I would use plugins to make your life easier when it comes to two-factor authentication, enforcing strong passwords, those type of things. It's just, there are too many other server issues that most of us don't have time to deal with. All right, Let me ask this question for those of you in the chat room. How many of you have ever accessed your WordPress websites, the admin area, from a coffee house or coffee shop or from the airport or some remote location? Hotel room. Yeah. Did you know how easy it is for anybody on a public Wi-Fi to watch traffic? It's one of those things that if you wanted to, you could just sit there and watch traffic, and maybe you even write a silly little script that says, you know what? Anybody who goes to any domain that has the wp-admin somewhere in the URL, just trigger that and we'll record what happens. So what most of them do is something that is super simple. I'm going to watch for anybody who accesses a wp-admin. And guess what happens? You normally get a cookie that is sent from the server to the person's computer that provides a handshake, a verification that you have logged in and now you are allowed to access. Well, if I do that, I can just catch the cookie and then put it in my computer, and I can simply visit that same spot. And if I've done it fast enough, I can see it. And I'm now accessing the site as if I'm you. Now, yes, that can all be, for the most part, taken care of if you have an HTTPS. And the great thing is, we as WordPress developers have done a really good job of pushing this forward. So it takes a little more effort for me as the hacker to intercept that cookie, but I can still follow traffic. Even though there's HTTPS, because I'm sharing the same network as you in the hotel, in the coffee shop. Which is why, A, never, ever, ever log into anything that does not have HTTPS from any public area. If it does not have HTTPS, you don't even want to attempt it. If you have to, it's much better to have a VPN or some other a way that you are encrypting or accessing your sites not connected in a shared environment. Simply watching traffic allows people to grab so much information. So we talk about always using secure connections. Now, let me just ask this question. What FTP programs do you guys use? Or how many people use things like FileZilla or Coda? Forklift? Now, most of those programs will sometimes ask you for a master password. Like if you store multiple accounts. Are you guys familiar with seeing something like that? It may have been a long time ago that you have a master password for your FTP clients. Or for LastPass is there. One of the things a master password does is it encrypts based on your input all your password information. If your application has never ever asked for a master password or some type of an input, I would check into it how they encrypt your information. Because if they're not allowing you to have any input in the encryption, in the password, that means all of their passwords are stored the exact same way, even if they're encrypted, which means all it takes is one enterprising hacker to crack their own passwords on their own version of an FTP program. And yes, for most Macs that use that go into that, what do they call it, the key pass or whatever the password program within there, or if the app connects with your user account, there is a master password, which is your user account on your computer. But if you're using something or your client uses something that does not have a master password, that's one indication that it may not be as secure as you think. All right. Let's talk a bit. We're going to actually dive into, because this is a question that people ask a lot. File permissions. When we get into, actually, when we're diving into the Security Studio plugin, it will be a little more clear. But I like to highlight this information. Your root folder where your WordPress site should be, normally that's the folder that sits just above the WP admin, WP content, WP includes. This should be writable only by your user account. So all files in there. Except the HD access, if you want WordPress to automatically generate one or edit it. So everything should be writable only by your user account. Now, how do you know that? I'm just going to actually bring up the properties just as a reminder. The owner is the server and your user account. So what I'm looking at right down here, the owner is my user account on my server as well as my server. And that is read, write, execute. You always, any file that has to be used always needs to have a read capability. So therefore, other groups that might be somewhere on the server can read. Other public access, things inside that are visiting our website, sure, we might give them read access if the server allows that. For example, yes, they can see the HTML on a page, or it can execute to render on that. But even if a PHP is there and it can be executed and the PHP can be run and they read it, just because they have read and execute rights or permissions on a server still is not going to render the output or the actual text of a PHP file. That doesn't do it unless you actually have improperly, or your hosting company has improperly set up the server. A PHP file is not going to render out the actual text. But that's where we're talking about everything needs, the only thing that should ever have writable access for your actual root folder, it's your user account. The WP admin should only be writable by your user account. So again, that's going to be a 755 or something like that. Your WP includes folder is also another one that should only be writable by your user account. The server itself. We don't want outside people writing to it. We don't want outside groups or that are on other parts of our server. We don't want that happening. Now, the WP content can be slightly different because this is normally a user-supplied folder. This is it's intended to be writable by our web account. And you might also see that inside the WP content, most of the folders are going to also say web server processes are going to make sure that we want to use this. So for example, Backup Studio has a folder because it needs to write to this folder to install or add or save files as part of the backup. And so that's why it's 775. The cache folder, which caching plugins and other things that WordPress does to cache, needs to be writable not only by my user account and the server, but possibly by other groups, other web services that are writing to it. So that's why you see maybe a 775 inside a 755 permission. It all depends on who needs access to it. Now, if you jump forward, you're going to see things like in the themes and the plugins. These are normally also writable by certain the web process or the user as well. But for the most part, plugins, themes, and content. Unless a plugin itself, like Backup Studio, needs a specific file for its web process to run, it's going to write its own permission of 775 right here. But all your other plugins and themes and things that you upload, it should never be that high. It should always be 755. Ben Broket theme was from day one when we ripped out pieces from other themes. I just haven't changed it. We'll see a lot more of these permissions here in just a moment when we dive into the Security Studio plugin. Now, here's one of the things that I like to do on every WordPress website, because we'll talk about the major vulnerability of the login screen in just a moment. But there is another major area of access that we need to be very careful. And it's this. The WP config file contains everything about our server, of how our site accesses the database, information that it needs. And so therefore, I don't want anybody accessing this file unless it's me through my own FTP program or my own, however I access my own SSH program. I should be the only one who accesses this. And so therefore, what you're going to normally see on many, many websites is this. In the htaccess file, so these are for servers that use the Apache server layer, we'll see this. Files, wp-config.php. So whatever we put inside these brackets, and again, it's similar to how HTML brackets concepts. Order, allow, deny from all. So we will allow you, and then we will deny, but we're basically saying we're denying from all. I can still access the WP config file if I FTP in or I use my SSH. I can still do it because I'm manually basically downloading a file, editing it, and then uploading the file. anybody else will not be able to access it. If somebody is simply writing a script that they want to fetch or read this file and they want it to send the information so that they can get our database information, this HD access file will deny it. It will basically, it eliminates the need to have to move the WP config file to another location or to do all these. Moving doesn't mean a thing because I can simply search a server for where the WP config file is. I just search for that name. So by putting in a denial access is probably the best way to secure your contents of this server, of this file. Now, if somebody grabs your username, your password, your SSH, however you get online, they're going to be able to look at it. And basically, if your own personal passwords or access has been compromised, there's nothing you can do. You just better hope you have a really good backup and that you can restore and change your passwords in enough time. All right. Let's see, what where's my time? Because there's a number of other things we are going to go through of locking down our WordPress sites that it's just so much easier using a plugin. Because we can go through and we can add all sorts of stuff to the WP config that locks down, that prevents file directory, file searches or editing of files or even uploading of plugins. There's all those type of things that we can deal with. But what I'm going to do is we're going to start by diving into Security Studio and we're going to work at doing everything the proper way. And then you're going to see how it changes things. So we don't need to deal with this. All right. So when you install Security Studio, Sanford, simply hiding the config file, moving it to some other location, it's pointless and it's going to cause additional headaches because you have to write in additional directory path changes into your server to let your server know where you move that WP config file to. And you have to write that into every other file in WordPress. It's an annoying thing to do. So the best thing to do is use the HT access file to prevent outsiders from accessing it. Most security plugins will write that for you, but because it's so simple, you can write it. You don't need a security plugin to write it yourself. Okay, so let's take a look. Security Studio does give you errors and makes a point about permissions. It's exactly what we just walked through. When I pointed out the WP admin includes content, all these things should be certain settings. The interesting thing is, for most of us, when we have a brand new site set up or we've been working with it, by default, most WordPress installations are all going to have the HT access and the WP config B644, which is fine for when you are developing the site because you're going to have things, security plugins, SEO plugins, write to the HT access file, write to the WP config file. So that's okay to have that 644, but when you are really ready for the site to be out there live, ready to go, everything is set, we don't want anything writing to the HT access file or the WP config file. So therefore, we need to make sure we set the proper permissions. So if we set it at 444, things are going to be able to read it. They're just not going to be able to write to it. So let's go do one at a time. I'll grab this htaccess file, and I'm going to go to permissions, and we're going to make sure it says 444, which means it's just read, read, read. I'm going to update this. And if I've done it properly, and it actually took, when I refresh on this, look at that. It's now 444, and it tells me that htaccess is writable. No, and it comes in green, so we're good. So now we need to adjust the wp-config. So now I can, it's as easy as this. Now, I'm using IceCoder, however, Coda will do this, FileZilla, basically all of those FTP programs. All you have to do is right-click on the file that exists on the server, and you're going to get something like properties or permissions. Go ahead and you can either type the number. You can either say, it's 444 is what I want, or you can use this nine square block concept and just fill in read, 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 and make sure the others are not connected. All right, so we update that, and we are set to go. So now everything is good. Nothing is writable that is going to be causing an issue. And as long as this stays this way and you are matching your suggested things, your file permissions and your folder permissions are all locked down to the proper setting. So that, I mean, what you're going to run into is every once in a while, you're going to get a plugin developer or theme developer who is frustrated with providing support for you. And they just say, I don't know what's going on. So just put it at 777. Because everything is going to work at 777. There's going to be no permission errors because it just is allowing anybody and everything to write anything and everything to whatever folder or file that exists. That just means you're completely open the door. That's like saying, hey, I just won the lottery. You tell everyone on television and in the newspaper, and then you say where your house is located, and then you leave the house unlocked and the door open with blinking signs that says, hey, I won the lottery. My money is inside. That's what 777 means. There's zero protection. People could just come in and do whatever they want. So, lock it down. So, if that's good, we move on to the second, or the key area of WordPress that is the ultimate open door, and that is brute force. WordPress, for many reasons, and these are reasons that I've been told, they make sense, but I still think they're ridiculous. The login screen of WordPress allows people to try infinite number of variations of username and passwords, which means I can run a program that will cycle through millions of passwords as much as your server will allow me with zero repercussions. So that's what brute force is. WordPress by default does not set something. I mean, it would be very simple to simply write a single tracking thing that would be, all right, this single tracking thing refreshes every 24 hours, and if somebody tries five times, it just locks them out. It could be simple. It could be unencumbered. It would not have to be a massive code base. You could keep it very simple and optimized. But they don't want to do it. They always claim this outlier. Well, it wouldn't work in this one situation. Okay, side note, rant. So this is the rationale most WordPress core developers say against putting brute force protection into core code. That, oh, here's an outlier situation where we wouldn't want that. Yet when it comes to the Gutenberg block editor, no, they brute force that, jam it down our throats, even though there is an outlier that wouldn't use it. you see the weird dichotomy of the two sides from WordPress core developers? And that's why some developers get really frustrated when talking to core developers, because they use one rationale to defend one thing and that exact same rationale to go against something else. And so that's why we're left with security plugins doing the heavy lifting rather than WordPress itself. So because of this weird conversation that core developers have with themselves, if you do not have a security plugin on your site that handles brute force protection, you are failing your site and your clients. This is something that you've got to remedy. Security Studio is built to be as bare bones as possible, so it's as efficient as possible, and it handles just the necessary items plus a few other things. So what Security Studio says is, you know what, we're going to take brute force and we're going to eliminate that from the equation of anybody who tries to hack our website. And we're going to do it slightly better than everybody else. Every security plugin has the ability to set the maximum number of attempts and how long we lock them out. That's the basics of brute force, where we say, you know what, if your user account, your computer tries three times and that you fail to log in, I am going to lock you out for 15 minutes. Sure, we can set that at 60 minutes. And I'll give you four, because sometimes, here's what I tend to do. I like to think about, if I've been encouraging my clients, or as I've told you with your clients, you're trying to get them to use password managers that auto log them in. Well, what if they change their password? Well, the first time they visit the site, their password manager is going to attempt to log them in automatically with an incorrect password. So I sometimes always plus one to whatever the default is, if my client or the site person who uses the site, even myself, I'm going to give myself the benefit of a, oops, my password manager screwed up. And then I've got personally three tries. You guys see that there's a rationale to upping that a little bit higher than what you might feel comfortable with. Just go up one. That deals with the password manager issue. So every brute force protection does this. But Security Studio goes a step further. And it says, you know what? Sure, we're going to lock them in for 60 minutes. And after 60 minutes, we're going to let you try again. What I tend to do is, great, I put this at two or three. So you tried four times, you failed, and you put it back on your list to say, you know what, we maxed out their attempts, let's try again whenever they were released. So their account can try again, they get locked out. After two, so here's my max lockout, we enter a new protocol that says, oh, if you got locked out of this cycle twice, you get now uber locked out for 250,000 hours. So that's an added benefit that Security Studio goes beyond what most brute force protection offers. It's like that extra benefit. If you're going to continue to harass my site, bye-bye. You're gone. Now, where does this cycle happen? This max lockout cycle. So I failed three times in this process. So I'm now max locked out. But is this three times in the life of my computer or my account? No. It is three times I get locked out within a 24-hour period. If I do 72 hours, say the brute force options, well, 72 hours means you have three cycles of being locked out every 72 hours before you get Uber banned. Now, what that also does is if I had saved that for 72 hours, notice how my log has 72 hours. The log that exists here, the failed logins, is how we're tracking this cycle so that we can track how many times did you get locked out over the course of 72 hours. And if you did that, you get a max ban, which means then it goes down over here and you get Uber blacklisted. Now, Sanford, if you use Security Studio, do you need to use other security plugins? Security Studio will play nice with everybody, but if you want to use the brute force protection of Security Studio, you need to make sure that the other security plugin, you can turn off brute force. You don't want two different brute force protections because you're just going to slow down your server. You're slow down your logging capability because now you got multiple plugins all logging the same thing in different locations. It's not something that you want. If you use something like WordFence for the firewall, well, then turn off the other things that you might use Security Studio for. If you only are using Security Studio for the two-factor authentication, make sure basically you are disabling brute force protection over here. Because you can disable brute force protection, even though that's one of the core things that Security Studio does. That's perfectly fine to do it. So that's the big thing Security Studio does. It handles your protection of the login area. Now, I do want to point out two other things. I would do everything in my power to figure out if my client's office or their home, if they either have a static IP address or something that is like they're normally issued something within a block range. Like maybe the first three numbers are the same, but it could be anything from, 100 all the way up to 255 for the third number. I would put that block in here because if I know my client's office is going to be 78.100.202 and it starts at 100 and it ends at, I would add that whitelist range so that everything within this range is perfectly whitelisted and brute force and other login issues are going to basically say, hey, you're in our whitelist, go ahead. It's going to make your life easier of not getting the calls in the middle of the night because Grandpa Bob forgot to what his password was. It will let him try a few times. And that whitelist is what will just allow them to go through. Now, that's not going to work if they always access through their phone or something else, but it's something to keep in mind that you don't have to have the exact IP address. You could do a range. And it's written this way so that you don't have to learn how to actually write ranges in IP blocks. Just what's the IP address that you start with and you end with, and the plugin will figure out what's the range of IP addresses inside. Just makes it a little bit easier. Okay, the second major area of security in WordPress before we take our break is two-factor. So part of the reason why I chased after the development of Security Studio is I wanted to make sure I had a good two-factor authentication system and I wanted brute force protection. Those are the two things I see as mandatory for any WordPress site. The two-factor authentication simply makes sure that if anybody does crack my password or crack something else, I have an alternative or an extra randomly generated code for what I need. Sanford, I would say Security Studio is better than the free WordFence, but the thing is, I don't need somebody telling or sending me emails about vulnerabilities. WordFence does that. WordFence does sit there and say, oh, we did find a plugin that is installed on your site that has an issue. I personally don't need that. I'm not running that many WordPress websites where I need somebody else watching that type of information. But they do very different things. Security Studio is about the login screen and a few other things. I personally don't see the need for WordFence because I can lock down file editing. I can lock down other things in the WP config file. I can do all that without having to have a plugin running it. I'm never going to be running a firewall all as a WordPress plugin. I'm going to be using things at the DNS level, which we'll talk about after our break. So I guess, yeah, maybe in the future I can write a full comparison, but they really do different things. All right, so let's talk about this. Because two-factor authentication, I really wanted something that was not dummy proof, but really simple, where you did not have to code custom authentication systems. And I wanted you to have options for your clients. Some of you have clients. Well, I've got this, I've got a friend that I meet with every Tuesday morning who, if I built him a website, I could not offer two-factor authentication using a phone. Why? He still only has a flip phone that you can't run any applications on. He is adamant against getting any type of smartphone, and he will never do it. So for him, you guys already like him, you have clients like him, great. So yes, he can't use a two-factor authentication, so there have to be other things that work with their workflow. But I wanted the ability for you and your clients to choose what works for them. So when we say, you know what, you can use the one-time password via an application, so that would be Authy, Google Authenticator, Duo, any of those apps you'd have on your phone or computer that generate a random code. You can do that. Or you can have the one-time password sent to the email, the actual email set up in the WordPress user database of that account. And you can also allow them to set their own user-defined questions. And then, which sometimes you might, you know what, I don't need just my regular attendees who log in to comment to leave tab two-factor authentications. But I'm going to make sure my administrators and editors and anybody who's going to actually do something, hey, you've got to have two-factor authentication. So we save the setting, which is then going to open up for anybody who has this role. They have to configure their security options or go over to My Security. This is where they get the choice of setting up their two-factor authentication. Now, if we did not force two-factor by email, we get this option of saying none. You can have a client who says this, but we can then go after the client and say, hey, listen, you got to do this. But I can solve a security question. So we can do something like, what is my favorite food? Muffins. The funny thing is, it's probably been a long time since I've had a muffin. But for some reason, always that's the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about food in this in these webinars. Okay, now this is not super secure, but it is at a bare minimum, it's a question that only the end user, because every user in their own security account, they can write their own question and their own case. So that if I bring up, I'm going to bring up an incognito window. So I've got to change the share. One second. Let me change so you can all see this. Where's my share? Let me not share just yet. Oh, I did save. I just want to make sure I saved it. All right, now let me change the share so that you can see. Okay, there we are. Okay, you should be looking at the login screen, right? Now I've got to remember what my password is. I hope I've got it, because I think it logs in at Benjamin, and I've got my password. Okay, so see, this is what happens. What is my favorite food? That's what the set your own question is. Every user could have their own question. It's a second password, but it's not randomly generated. But it is random because of the human randomness of every single person on your site could have a different favorite question. So then I say, muffins, boom, we get in. All right, let me now go back to share this. Okay, so that's what that looks like. Now, how many tries are possible before they get locked out? Exactly the same thing as brute force. Basically, it's a brute force. If they get the second question wrong, their own question, it goes back to their login. And so it's a failed login. So they have to log in with their username and password, try again, failed login. All right. You can also do email authentication code. So if I save the changes for this one, and now my user account, so let me pop this open, incognito window, and let me share this one. Let me log in here, one second. Oh, I need to share again. Change the share, where'd it go? All right, so here we are. I come over here, type in my username, my password, and it says, please enter the OTP email to you, one-time password. I'm going to probably change that to actually say one-time password. So I grab my email, and I should be receiving an email. This is also why it's very important that any site that you use that emails passwords, you use an SMTP program. So that you get things fast enough. Now, part of the reason why I wanted to rewrite a two-factor authentication program, I was actually perfectly happy with iTheme Security Pro's two-factor authentication until they changed how they sent the emails. The thing that frustrated me is it used to have the code in the subject line, which meant I could simply quickly look at the email that came to my phone or came to my app, my email application, and type it in without having to open the email. But then they changed it, which meant now I had to open up the email and do. That's actually literally what chased me out to try and find a different security solution. So Security Studio will email it not only in the subject, but also in the subject line, but also in the content, so that it's easy, whether you get it on a cell phone, whether you get it on an email application, it allows you to quickly glance over and see who just sent me this information or what was the code without me having to dive in. All right, we go back here. Or you can set it to be the Google Authenticator Authy Duo. So what we end up doing is you have to, before you check this, just in case you get logged out, I would come over here to this area, and you can show this to your client. You can also walk them through that process. Here's your, and I'm holding my phone right now, and I'm going to open up Duo Mobile. It's very easy to do things with Duo Mobile, where I'm going to point my camera at this little code. Then I can name it, and I can say this is my WP Dev Camp. I hit the button, and your authenticator app is going to give you a code. Now, it probably looks different than what's on here because time has passed since when this screen refreshed and I was able to scan it. So hit refresh, and if the number on your app matches this, you can go ahead and hit enable and save. You don't have to worry about anything on that. It's all taken care of. So now, whenever we log in, the same way the other things say, now enter your username and password, the next screen, I just pull up my app, go to the site that I need, and type in the code. Now, I also wanted to make sure that for you as the site owner, the developer, you will get called when the client says, my dog ate my phone. So how do I get into my site now? So what you can do in the brute force area, two-factor area, that's what we're talking about, is this is for the dog ate my homework stuff. Where we can, because there's no way for you to see what their code is. You can't re-enable their phone. We simply have to say, all right, it's for this user. We're going to reset two-factor authentication for this user. So the next time they log in with their regular username and password, they're going to log in, no problem. It's not going to ask them for that secondary information. Which means now when they go to My Security, they have to set it up again. All right, when we come back from our break, we're going to look at the other few items security setup, locking down WordPress, and we're also going to then dive into external things, firewalls, security settings, page rules, network trafficking things that are much better done at things like Cloudflare. There's other things out there as well. And not on a WordPress plugin, because we want to prevent people from getting to our server before they attempt to do anything. So what we're going to do here is, it is right now 2:03. We will come back at 2:15. So it's actually going to be enough time to refill the coffee and get back in 12 minutes. So we're going to be on break, be back at 2:15. Did I say 12:15? 12 minutes. And I'm going to mute the mic while we're out. And when we get back, as I said, we'll deal with the rest of Security Studio. We'll make sure we are backing things up properly. I will tell you about some of the upcoming features for Backup Studio, as well as diving into Cloudflare's security options. All right, I'll see you guys back at 2:15. Okay, we are back just in time. Let me get rid of this screen. It's now 2:15. We may have to wrap up part of this webinar slightly early just because of time crunches. But I wanted to wrap up the whole Security Studio. Then we're going to take a brief look at the Backup Studio because I did want to tell you there's a new version of Backup Studio coming. And I wanted to just highlight a few of the new things that many of you have been asking about. So besides brute force and two-factor, again, if you want to learn more about the password-free, the rebuilt of reCAPTCHA file checksums, that's I would go watch one of the prior backup studio, sorry, Security Studio webinars. But in the custom settings area, or you will find a few of the other basically lockdown systems you need to have in place for any WordPress website. So even if you're not using Security Studio, you're using something else, make sure that unless you absolutely need it, you are disabling XML RPC. The only reason to have this enabled is because you are using it. Maybe you have the WordPress mobile app, or you have a specific tool that has to access this. The reason why is if you thought brute force protection on a WordPress login screen was bad, there is absolutely zero brute force protection on an XML RPC login stream, and it gets even worse. I can try like 5,000 passwords and usernames at one time using the XML RPC stream. I can just push hundreds of thousands of password attempts to log into your site through this stream. So if you don't use it, turn it off. If you do use it, maybe you want to change the slug to something else so you're just not getting hammered with default stuff. The other area of WordPress. For years, when you installed WordPress, it automatically created an administrator account with the username admin. That also meant there are still many websites that have a user account with the username admin. So what better way than to add this as a blacklist if anybody attempts to type in the word admin and they log in? What happens then is the whole brute force protection is completely ignored. They get zero attempts. They don't get even a cycle of trying things out. If they type in admin, that's one strike, they're gone. They're immediately on the blacklist. But it gets even better with the latest version of Security Studio. I can put an asterisk there, which means any variation of admin, administrator, or whatever thing, I can say, guess what? Anything that has to do with this, we're going to blacklist. The one caution I will put out there, be very careful that you don't blacklist actual usernames that are there, because you'll have a client who goes to log in and all of a sudden they get blacklisted for no other reason than they were actually putting in their actual username. And because Security Studio is all about the login screen, you do have a tiny little bit of obscurity. Everything we've seen up till now has been pure, hard quality security. This box is a obscurity. I could rename the login screen to Muffin. And if I save this setting, now anything that automatically redirects to the login screen, so maybe you have other links that redirect to the login screen, it will redirect to Muffin. And they'll go through there. The WP-login .php no longer will be the location. If I check this box, nothing will redirect. So if anything still points to the old WP login, it's not going to redirect. You have to manually enter it. So for example, I'm going to pull up the other screen. We're going to open up the incognito, and I am going to type in, let me share that. Let me change the screen. Bear with me 1 second. Hold on. There we go. All right. So let's share. Here we are. Okay. You should be looking at the WP DevCamp front site. Remember how we checked that here? We checked that box that says do not redirect. So if I type in WP admin, so I'm waiting for a redirection. I know I can go here and it will take me 404, page not found. How awesome is that? Even if you think you know where you're going, or you have an old link to the action, or you know all the links to WordPress's login, if you check that box, it's a step beyond obscurity. So now I can go to Muffin and I get the login. So just that concept, and let me go back to sharing on our application, the actual location. Just by checking this, we move beyond the just default obscurity of changing the login slug to basically, you must know what this is in order to log in. You're not going to be able to just figure it out by typing in things that will redirect you or take you there. So if you do choose to do this, you better have a really good reason why you're not also checking this. And if you do check this, make sure you remember what the login name is. Otherwise, you may be locked out, in which case you'd have to deactivate the Security Studio plugin to get back in. All right. So that is Security Studio. But part of this, handling your brute force, handling your two-factor, handling your control of access to the login areas of WordPress, is making sure you have a solid backup. So whether you use Backup Buddy, Updraft Premium, Duplicator, any of the backup solutions that are out there, or you use Backup Studio, you just need something that will A, have a good quality backup that contains all the content, and has something that allows you to restore the backup. Now, I did want to highlight a few things, basically whet your appetite for things that are coming with Backup Studio. So yes, Backup Studio can run basically on the lowest server level up to high-powered servers. Basically how it does it, it changes the way it chunks up the backup. It also doesn't require tons of processing power. It may take a little bit longer, but it works its way through. It's not going to fail. Watch when I say that. It's not going to fail. It's going to fail on me right now. But part of it is it may have paused for a moment, and then it will pick up in just a moment. We can go to some other page and check this out. See, there it picked back up, made sure it didn't fail. So that's positive. All right, so it now tells us that, hey, good job. It's now merging the backups, because basically there were two or three backups created during that time, and now it's going to put it all together so that this page will refresh and we will have our backups down here. But for now, let me tell you a few of the other things that are coming. Now, this is pretty basic. You kind of need to know what's going on when you make a manual backup. And so I've been working on building a getting started. I see lots of the backup plugins have this to help you make your first backup. So there'll be this step one. Where do you want to put it? What do you want to do? Are you trying to migrate? Are you trying to create a staging site? Are you trying to backup manually? There we are. So it's all now set. What are you trying to do? What type of a backup are you trying to do? And normally right now you have database and files, only database. The big request from just about every one of you who have been helping me test. Yeah, that backup file is gigantic. And I'll tell you, I think I know what it is because I have a whole bunch of backups as well. So there's other backups from other things that are huge. So one of the things you guys have asked, well, can we please customize what gets backed up? Because maybe I want something, maybe I don't. So in this next version, basically it'll be the 1.0 version of Backup Studio, which is coming, you have the ability to select custom files, which means you will have checkboxes that say, do you want the WordPress core, database, themes and plugins, your uploads folder, your WP contents folder. You can add additional files and folders, and you can add additional databases and whatnot. And you have the full selection of what's on your server, what's on things. So it will back up even non-WordPress stuff. So that's been a huge thing. I think I've got it running. It allows me to handle all this, and I've been able to back up from that, and I've been able to restore from that. The other thing that is coming, and I is making it easier for staging. The reason why is, yes, I've got migration stuff where we can basically on our far end site, we would encrypt a token. This is an encrypted thing so that I can then paste it into this, my site that's going to send, and it allows us to, it takes the concept of how Updraft Plus does it and a few others, a signed encrypted token that can go back and forth. But once it's there, you know, that's all you have. But if you're actually doing a staging site, maybe you have several different sites that are staging off of the same site. Well, there's a new section called staging, which is going to allow you to create your staging environment, send it off, and you'll be able to push-pull from an actual site where you, here's your staging one, staging two, staging three. You'll be able to build your staging. Now, the third thing that I've been asked, well, I can back things up. I can do all this stuff, but what happens if I'm, and how many of you have done this? You take a backup of a live site because you're going to do a rebuild for a client, and their site is still live. So you're working on the site, you're making all the changes, but since the last time you made the backup, your client has written 48 additional blog posts, or there's been new content added. We're not talking about site changes or plugin changes. We're talking about actual physical content that was from the database. So, in addition to your backups, sure, you can go into this export. And you can say, all right, I'm going to go posts. Let's export posts from a certain time or a certain date. You probably don't need to learn this, but I have, most of us won't know when and where we need to set this up. In Backup Studio 1.0, you have the ability to, okay, when was the last time an actual backup was made or migrated? You can export, you will have, it's not here yet, but you will have the ability to export your posts, your pages, eventually custom post types, and it will export based on the last time a backup was made to the present moment. So that then it just exports those posts. You come to your dev site that you're building and you import. So we import just the posts that have been done since we last made the backup. So this solves the entire issue of rebuilding sites for clients, because you don't have to worry anymore about, oh man, I have to take another backup and then migrate what I was doing in the development environment. All you have to do is take one backup of a client site, bring it over your development environment, build everything, and then go back when you're ready to finally launch the site, export just the content, the posts, the pages that have changed since you took the backup. And you incorporate it. Now on your dev server, you are up to date, live, everything is set to go, boom. You can upload it back, or you can migrate it back to the site or overwrite. So that's going to be a huge thing, I think, that is going to make your life so much easier. Now, back up to Google Drive. Yes. There's Amazon S3, DigitalOcean Spaces. In version 1.0, Google Drive is there. I believe I fixed Dropbox. And because there's one of you who really loves Microsoft OneDrive, I'm trying to get that done too. And yes, it's still on the plate for Backblaze. And part of the reason why it got pushed back again is Backblaze is rewriting their API. So it may take a little bit longer for that. So I put this out there is you just need a tool that will back up your site, will restore your site, but give you the flexibility to still work. Sanford, we probably need to talk because almost every backup plugin will work with desktop server. Some of them just take a few more steps, like you've got to install WordPress itself, then install the plugin, and then import something to restore. It's never going to be just a little drag and drop type thing. Now, Backup Buddy and a few others, they do allow it, but maybe I'll find a time to maybe do a broadcast or a webinar when I'm actually at a desktop computer. Because part of why I'm making some of these changes and these tools and when I've been doing this for the past 2 years for you guys, my dream and goal has always been to have a work environment that can be based on WordPress, that is secure, everything is secure, but I don't have to be at a desktop computer. I can be on a laptop, I can be on a Chromebook, I can be on a mobile device to manage everything. I don't have to be in one location, or I don't have to use one computer. I can log on from anywhere and run a company. That's the end goal. And so that's why part of these decisions are not to be tied down to one environment, to try multiple types of things. And that's why Backup Studio, you import your backup files. So I don't need to, we don't have to use WordPress. We don't have to back up WordPress. We can back it up if we want, but really we need to back up the themes, the plugins, the configurations, the database. We can do everything else, but it kind of takes some of the concept of Updraft Plus and uses how they manage. And then I'm trying to make it a little more user-friendly. All right, we're running out of time. I just wanted to give you a sneak peek of the things that are coming with Backup Studio. If I can get it all done, it's going to hit before the end of the year. So that may be my Christmas present to you guys, if I can get it done. But there's also a new SEO Studio update coming as well. There's lots of stuff coming. All right, so let's come over here. So Security Studio is handling all of the login and the brute force and the two-factor authentication and protection of login elements. I want to make sure that no nefarious actors are ever even getting to my site. So in order to protect that, that's where Cloudflare or some other type of remote firewall, some web application firewall, protects the site. Yes, Cloudflare can help speed up your site. Yes, Cloudflare can do all those type of handling your DNS and managing where we're pointing the traffic. But there is, and this is all on the free level of Cloudflare, there's a full firewall. If you are already using the DNS, the firewall allows you to basically protect who's going to access your site. Yes, there's. I don't think I have any rules on here. Or maybe I do. No, I don't have any rules on here other than the default one. I just check in to make sure. Okay. So my overview and most of our overviews are going to say, hey, our firewall isn't anything there. I can add, that's a filter for this. No firewall events. This is where our managed rules come in. This is wide-ranging tool sets or that Cloudflare at the pro level will give you already built-in rules. Like somebody can't do X, Y, and Z. They have to come through with an actual browser. They have to, all these mini type of rules that are always changing. So going to pro will basically have somebody else watching your back. And by default, Cloudflare does provide some semblance of distributed denial of service attacks against your server. But if you need mitigation, so you're already receiving denial of service attacks and you need someone to help restore the site, you may need to be at the pro level. But for most of us, we're fine. So that where we come to is firewall rules. Every free version has 5 firewall rules that you could put in here. So a firewall rule looks like this, where we need to find everything from certain cookies, countries, host names, IPs, blah, 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 user agents. If user agent equals Internet Explorer, I'm not going to do this, but you can choose to then block or pop up a challenge. So they basically, it's a reCAPTCHA type thing to let them know whether or not we want to allow them in. Now, that's not the exact value of a user agent, just so you know. But we can set through there and we can say, all right, a country, if we say, I am really anti-penguin, so I want to make sure I block anybody from Antarctica because, those hacker penguins are just a nuisance. So we can deploy that. Now, this is a specific rule for this specific site. In our tools, I'm not going to save that. In our tools, we have infinite number of settings because we can put IP address, IP range, country name, and it does something better. So if you have a whole bunch of your servers, your domains, all your clients are sitting on Cloudflare, there's a benefit to putting them all on here, at least from the firewall element. If all of a sudden I say Antarctica, those penguins are horrible. Yes, I can block. I can also say block from all of my sites in Cloudflare. It's all my sites. Dirty penguins. And we can add that. So now zero people. Oh, looks like this was for the enterprise. Oh, I'm sorry. I used to be able to do this. I think I still have a whole bunch of... See, I have 122 rules that still work. Probably because I was using all these things a long time ago. All right, well, let's just say our dirty penguin is at 69 point... let's say that is their thing. I'm going to save this just in case it disappears into the ether. There we are. So now my IP rule has been successfully created. And every one of my sites that are in Cloudflare have now completely banned that IP address, which means that IP address never even gets to attempt to log in. They don't even get access to my site. It's just a dead link. It does not render. It does not complete access to the server. Now, why is something like this better than a plug-in firewall? Well, in order for the plug-in firewall to operate like a firewall, they already have to have hit your server. So there is the big thing about why firewalls, and again, it does require you to manage two different places, two different locations, your security stuff on your server, and then your firewall on something else, like a DNS or Cloudflare or something else like that. Tomorrow, we are going to dive into Cloudflare a little bit more because we'll look at some of the caching to help speed things up, as well as setting page rules, because page rules will help speed up your site by both disallowing certain elements and enabling performance and what cache levels we do. So, John, can a few countries only be allowed and all the rest denied? I believe if you're going to do that for, I wonder if I can do this, Antarctica. Let me just try for this website. Can I block? Okay, enterprise level, but I can do it in firewall rules. Oh, hold on. Before I leave, I need to go find that IP address here we are, the dirty penguins. I need to undo this just in case that actually is somebody's IP address. Because WP Studio was also as part of this group. I don't want to block the dirty penguins, just so you know. All right, so what I could do is, and the free version, actually, I wonder, can you do that in the free version? Yes. If country is not United States, United Kingdom, Germany, Netherlands, and Djibouti. Let's see if we can do that. Oh, Djibouti Safe is the name of our firewall deploy. Boom, we just did it. So, John, yes. Basically, we are blocking anything that is not United States, United Kingdom, Djibouti, Germany, and Netherlands from WP Dev Camp. Actually, let me change this. Hey, BG, are you there still? Can you get to WP Dev Camp right now? I don't know how quick the block happens. Okay, you are there. Eventually, it will, once the DNS, everything resolves, I believe that will now block anybody who's not from these countries. Because this is remote, I can also see if I can pull United States. So let me pull up the incognito to see if I can get there. Nope, not yet. Well, oh, you know why? Because right now, I think I'm using DNS only. Okay, so now, because it's going through, I just remembered that. So now it's going through Cloudflare. It may take a moment to get up, but I believe that will eventually, over the next hour, wherever this time to live will update. Now that they're both going through Cloudflare, that will get our firewall access, our firewall rule will be in play. But we've been actually bypassing the whole time Cloudflare, even though we can do our settings. See, I've already banned myself because we're from everybody. Probably, if you're from the United States or Germany, try to get WP Dev Camp, and you will find that we have now been blocked. Oh, you're still in. So Germany takes a little bit longer, but I'm out. So I now have to go undo the firewall. Is everybody else still in? Or is it just me? All right, so no, what this is doing is we are saying if you're not in the United Kingdom, Netherlands, or Djibouti, we are blocking. And Sanford's now got locked out. So Germans and the United States should be locked out from accessing WP Dev Camp. If you're in Djibouti, Netherlands, or United Kingdom, you should still have access. But to answer your question, John, this is how you would do it. All right, so let me come back over here, back to the rule list. Let me get rid of this. So you all seen that we're access denied. If I don't know how long it will take to delete that rule. Let's see. We're back in. Okay, so for some, it may be fairly instantaneous. Others, it may take a moment. Caching may happen. All right, so we are going to end because we will come back and deal with the rest of Cloudflare as part of our optimization. But I put this out there to say, in combination with Security Studio and Cloudflare or some other firewall system, you can prevent access to your server and you can protect your WordPress site. Those are the most important things. Everything else is just like dressing on the cake. But you've got to do what we've talked about today to secure any and every WordPress site. So tomorrow, we wrap up our dev camp. We're talking about optimization. So we are going to go through the whole process of making sure, like our page speed score, how do you get it as high as possible, as fast as possible? How do you get the green check marks? So we'll process through that and then have any question and answers that pop up going forward. So take care, everybody. We will get this replay uploaded as soon as possible. I'm running up against the clock as well as blocking myself. I think I've removed all the Dirty Penguin and Djibouti firewall stuff. If for whatever reason you can't access WP Studio because of something dumb I did here in the firewall, please let me know in Slack or send me an email and I'll try and figure out why we've locked ourselves out. I may have to rewatch the video to figure out what I did. But have a great rest of a Thursday. I will see you all tomorrow for our final session. Talk to you later, guys. See you in Slack.